There's joy in the house of the Lord today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Boy, if that's a sampling of what we're getting next week, well, it's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to be rocking the flock. So you want to check us out next Sunday as we continue to worship the Lord. I hope you've been enjoying this preaching series, celebrating our brethren values. It's wrapping up today. Today's our last Sunday looking at our brethren values. I appreciate very much. Pastor Marietta preached one Sunday. Pastor Bob Kettering preached another Sunday. So additional voices have been speaking into this series. And today we're going to bring it to a close as we talk about the stewardship of God's good gifts. As brethren, we've always talked of the simple life. There's always been a concern about materialism and perhaps too much of a focus on money. And Jesus often talked of materialism and how our stuff can hinder our walk with God. As brethren, we are reminded that we're going to live simply. That means our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus is on serving one another. It's not on getting more. The early brethren lived in a time of pretense and extravagance, and many people of that day were consumed by trying to impress other people. Many, in fact, would rarely bathe and then cover their body odors with heavy perfumes. Some had lice in their hair and wore wigs. They dressed for show. But this was never the brethren way. Extravagant dress, material wealth, and possessions have never been the focus of the brethren. In fact, the brethren dressed in clothes that really reflective of the peasant class when the denomination began many years before. And as styles changed, this simple way of dressing became known as plain clothes. Well, today we no longer wear plain clothes, but we are still concerned with simplicity. And stewardship of God's good gifts begins with simple living. We desire to be found faithful stewards of God's many good gifts. To help us understand this value a little bit better, we're going to look at some teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 today. And perhaps in this story, we'll see how Jesus values the good stewardship of all that he gives us. So the story comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, for a message entitled, The Stewardship of God's Good Gifts. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Hear now the word of God. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In a monologue, a comedian talks about our obsession with the accumulation of material possessions and the modern anxiety for which it is both the cause and the result. He asks his audience, You got stuff with you, right? Guys have stuff in their pockets. Women have stuff in their purses. Stuff is important. You got to take care of your stuff. You got to have a place for your stuff. That's what life is all about, trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is, a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. You can see that when you're taking off in an airplane. You look down and see all the little piles of stuff. Everybody's got their own stuff. And trust me, friends, I know all about stuff over the last 4.5 months. I have been moving stuff week after week for months now. Still moving stuff. So this message is more to me today than anyone else, perhaps. Well, today, let's consider some ideas of stewardship, simple living, and stuff in light of this teaching of Jesus. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus' ministry is going well. He's going very well. In fact, he's starting to gain followers. People are coming and following him and listening in and learning from him. He's becoming influential. And because he was a Jewish rabbi, it was normal back then that for rabbis to settle any number of disputes that might occur within between persons. So someone is having a family feud with his brother, comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." How many times has money and the dividing up of estates driven a wedge between family members? How many of us know people who are no longer speaking to one another because of a disagreement over money? In any event, according to Jewish inheritance practices, an older brother would get 2/3, the younger brother would get 1/3, and so this man feels like he's not getting his rightful portion, and he comes to Jesus and asks that he settle this for him. But instead of getting involved in this, Jesus says, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions." In other words, Jesus is warning this man, and he's warning the crowd that's listening in, that your life is not about your stuff. Your life is not about your stuff or the abundance of possessions that you have. Don't let money and possessions control your lives. Don't allow greed to be your master. Don't waste your time on things like this. This isn't what the kingdom of God is all about, Jesus is saying. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the possessions. It's about being a good steward of what God has given you. And then he goes on to tell a parable that we read as an example of a wasted life. Jesus is saying, here is how not to live. Here is how not to live. There was once a guy whose barns were already bursting to overflowing. He was a rich man, and he harvested yet another bumper crop. It's enough to feed him for years and years and then some. It was more food than any one person could ever use or need in a lifetime. And since before this bumper crop comes, he already has more than one person needs, he decides, what am I going to do with this bumper crop now that my barns are full? What shall I do? This is what I'll do, he says. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns so that I have more stuff. The first point I want to make this morning is this. God's blessings reach beyond our needs. God's blessings reach beyond our needs. We are blessed by God, and his blessings overflow in our lives. The man in this story was blessed. He was truly blessed. He had far more than he needed, and he had already stored up all these blessings of God and was blessed yet again and wanted to store up even more. You and I are blessed by God. We're given far more than we deserve, and then far more than we'll ever need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." You know that word mammon, you know what that means? Stuff. That's what mammon means, stuff. You cannot serve God and stuff. The comedian continued on with his monologue. He said, "So now you got a household of stuff. And even though you might like your house, you got to move. You got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. And that means you got to move all your stuff. Or maybe put some of your stuff in storage." Right? Storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on other people's stuff. Did you know that there are over 49,000 self-storage facilities in the United States? The average annual revenue for the self-storage industry in the United States is $39.5 billion. That's money we are spending for someone else to watch our stuff. Every time we pass a new storage facility, I can't help but think, we're building bigger barns. That's what we're doing. We're building bigger barns. The farmer in Jesus' parable says, I have no place to store my crops. And it doesn't even occur to him, does not occur to him that there are people, hundreds, perhaps even thousands, who are hungry and starving and who could be blessed by his bumper crop. If he'd be willing to just share of his overabundance. But it doesn't even cross his mind. Doesn't even cross his mind. He is so focused on himself that he had forgotten both God, both the God who caused the crops to grow, and the neighbor to whom he is called to love. Here is the point we need to make. How we steward God's blessings is important. How we steward what God has given to us is extremely important. The man said in verse 18, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. Rather than steward God's blessings by being generous, this man decided to what? Accumulate more stuff. To hoard it, essentially. Essentially hoard God's blessings. With all the excess at the center of his life, this man plunges into the trap of greed and idolatry. Money, possessions, and his concern for me, myself, and I. You know, when you read that parable that Jesus tells, you hear the word I a lot. This is what I will do. I will build bigger barns. I will sit back and relax. I, over and over again. It's a sad state of affairs, and it's too easy for all of us to get caught up in. The Bible teaches over and over again that God's plan is that those who have been given much, that we would faithfully steward what we have been given, and that we would bless others with that. That's the kingdom principle that's in play here. In our culture, we often measure ourselves and others by the size of our storehouses. But in the kingdom of God, the storehouses are sold, and life is measured by what we do for other people. Like the rich farmer, we're tempted to think that having large amounts of money and possessions stored up will make us secure. But friends, sooner or later, no large amount of money will make you feel secure. Not having bigger barns will make you feel secure. Not having a bloated bank account is going to make you feel secure. Not having a retirement fund that's seven figures is going to make you feel secure. Only Jesus Christ can make you feel secure. The latest gadget, the latest thing you have to have will not make you feel secure. No amount of wealth can secure our lives with God. And Jesus repeatedly warned that our true security is found only in Him. It's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy the blessings He's given to us. Absolutely. We should enjoy the blessings He's given to us. And it doesn't mean we don't save for retirement. We don't save for our kids' college fund. No, that's important too. And it's not that God doesn't want us to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy what He has given to us. But there's a time to eat, drink, and be merry, and there's a time to be a good steward of what He has given and bless others with that. It's about how we invest our lives in the gifts God has given us, which are really on loan for us. How we steward God's blessings is important. You know, during my 27 years of pastoral ministry, I've heard many different people tell me their regrets near the end of their lives, but there is one regret I've never heard. I've never heard anyone say, I wish I hadn't given so much away. Never heard that. I wish I had kept more for myself. Haven't heard that either. Death has a way of kind of clarifying what's most important in our lives. And when it comes to the end of our life, wouldn't it be great to be able to look back and say, wow, look how God blessed me with all that He gave me. And look how I was able to bless others by being a good steward of those good gifts. You see, friends, there's always an empty place inside us that won't be filled with newer, nicer, or better things. So what will it take for us to be truly happy with our lives? You know, I think Augustine got it right back in the late 4th century when he wrote, "You have made for us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Augustine said, let me read that again. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." You see, friends, a person who's lost at sea can't quench his thirst by drinking ocean water. Can't do it. Can't quench his thirst by drinking ocean water. In a similar fashion, possession after possession, dollar upon dollar, will not fill the empty soul or cure a hurting heart. Ultimately, only God through Christ can do that. Notice how the man, though, responds in verse 19 after building bigger barns. He said, "I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." And boy, isn't that the message of today? Isn't that the message today? Let's get as much as we can, as fast as we can, so that we can not have to work and sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. You hear the stories of people who retire at age 35 or 45 because they got all they needed so quickly. But do they truly have peace? You know, stewardship, though, is more than about money, though. Stewardship impacts every part of our lives. And that's our third point this morning, is that stewardship impacts every aspect of our lives. The brethren realize this as well. Simple living, stewardship of money is important, but we are called as brethren to steward our earth as well, to be good caretakers of God's earth. We're to steward our time and our talents and our treasures. We're to steward our relationships with our family, with our church family. We're to have a solid work ethic. We're to take care of our physical bodies. Be good stewards of that as well. Brethren are not legalistic with a whole bunch of rules to follow, but stewardship of God's blessings impacts every area of our lives and is a long-standing, well-embraced brethren value. The story that Jesus tells is so contrary to this value of stewardship of God's good gifts. That while this farmer was blessed, he was not stewarding God's blessings well. And he certainly wasn't considering his neighbor and how he could benefit and bless his neighbor. In fact, the farmer in this story is called what? He's called a fool. He's called a fool. Not because of his wealth or his ambition, but rather because he gives finite things infinite value. Because he treasured the finite things that God had given to him. He has all he thinks, and he thinks he needs more. And yet at the end, what comes that very night proves not to be enough. You see, friends, that leads to our last point today, and that is this. Good stewardship is simple living and sacrificial giving. That's what good stewardship is. It's simple living and sacrificial giving. The man in Jesus' story had neither of those. He was determined to keep what he had, hoard it if you will, and simple living was not on his mind. The only thing on his mind was taking care of himself. In verse 20, Jesus calls him a fool, saying his life would be demanded of him. And then he says, who's going to get all these things that you have stored up? Because he missed the important point of simple living and sacrificial giving. That's what good stewardship is. And that's exactly what Jesus modeled for us. The brethren have shared this value and embraced this value for over 300 years now. From our beginnings in Germany in the early 1700s, stewardship of God's blessings and simple living have been hallmarks of our faith. And may it continue to be so. I want to give you three takeaways this morning from the message. And these come right out of a book by Kirk Nowry entitled The Stewardship of Life. Three simple takeaways. He suggests the followings in regards to the stewardship of God's blessings. First, he says, enjoy things, but don't cherish them. Enjoy things that God gives you, but don't cherish them. God is not opposed to us enjoying his blessings. In fact, Ecclesiastes 8:15 says as much. I think the Lord is pleased when we find pleasure in the blessings that he has provided. However, our attachment has to be to him and not to the things that he provides. So enjoy those things, but don't cherish them. Second, share things joyfully and not reluctantly. In sharing our blessings with others, we are able to bless other people. The Bible says that God loves a, what, cheerful giver. Not a reluctant one, but a cheerful one. And third, and I really like this one, third is think like a pilgrim, not like a settler. Think like a pilgrim and not as a settler. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We are just passing through this world. We're just passing through. We are indeed pilgrims. We're not settlers. As Paul reminded the Philippians, he said, our citizenship is in heaven. Let me close with this. When it comes to the simple life and it comes to being a good steward of God's good gifts, it starts with you and with me. We are each uniquely made, uniquely gifted, and we have been given so much. But if we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't steward who we are and who God calls us to be, we will miss out on living and sharing our blessed lives. So I want you to think about yourself without thinking selfishly. In other words, remember who you are and remember why you're here. You are a beloved creation of God. You're designed in His image and destined for His purposes. You are special in His eye. You're special to Him. And He has a unique purpose for you and for your life. To fulfill that role, you need to be a wise steward. Every blessing and every benefit in your life is a factor in the stewardship equation. So let us be good, faithful stewards of God's good gifts. And may He indeed find us faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 summarizes well our message this morning. Paul writes there, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. As stewards of God's good gifts, may we as brethren continue to be found faithful as we love God, sacrificially give of His bounty of blessings in our lives. May we indeed be found faithful stewards of God's good gifts. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray, and then we'll have the children come forward for the children's steward. Father, we thank You that You have blessed us with far more than we deserve, even far more than we need. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful stewards of what You have granted to us, have given us, Lord. Help us to live as pilgrims and not as settlers in this world. And help us to love You by passing on those blessings to those in need around us, to love our neighbor, and to be able to share and sacrificially give of Your bounty of blessings in our lives. Find us faithful stewards of Your many good gifts to us today as we continue to serve You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Time for the children to come forward for the children's story. Diane has that this morning.